Back in January, a friend and I met for lunch at a little hole-in-the-wall Thai place in a strip mall in Fremont. It was the halfway point. She lives on the peninsula. I was grateful for the time to catch up and to swap stories about our kids and what was occupying our attention. While we were there, my friend Nikki gave me a birthday present. It was this beautiful blue ceramic mug that doubled as a teapot. It had a strainer for the tea that nestled right down inside, and then there was a lid that sat on top to keep the tea hot while it steeped. It was lovely. After we finished lunch, we headed outside, planning to hike nearby, and I stepped off the curb, and I'd walked about 3 steps when the lid of this little teapot mug slid off just beyond the grasp of my fumbling fingers. It crashed to the ground and broke neatly in 4 pieces. Nikki was a few paces ahead of me, and when she heard the clatter, she whipped around and she paused briefly to take in the scene. And then she threw back her head, laughing raucously. When she had finally regained the ability to speak, she looked me in the eye and, grinning, she said, "I love you so much." I seem to create scenes like this rather often. You may have noticed by now that I have a tendency towards being a klutz. And yet, standing there in the parking lot, this moment was one of complete joy. It was not the thrill of being perfect or wildly successful, obviously. It was the joy of being fully known and then hearing that I am loved in and through and sometimes also in spite of that. Jesus asks us to live in this love, to make our home there, to abide right there in his love. That's the ask. And then I think because he really wants us to do it, he explains why. He says the reason for everything he's taught us is so that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be complete. It's gorgeous. Abide in his love so that God's joy may be in us. How fabulously straightforward, and how thoroughly we forget this. We get confused and wander off. It happens for countless reasons, but maybe most especially because the world tells us otherwise. The world insists that we're on our own, that we've got to hustle and grind if we're going to make it. The world tells us that our success determines our worth and what good we deserve or not. Much of the time, the world doesn't seem to care if our joy is complete. But Jesus does not call us to grind. He does not call us to endless striving. He does not call us to be perfect. Instead, he reminds us again and again that the reason he came is this joy. I struggle to trust this. It sounds lovely, and given what I hear from all other angles, it also sounds a bit ridiculous. You're telling me that we don't have to get it all just right. We don't have to work to that point of exhaustion and maybe past it. We just need to abide in this love, welcome this joy. I'm not so sure, but I'm curious. And as I consider the context, it makes me wonder even more. Jesus does not ask the disciples to live in his love when everything is going wonderfully, He does not promise them the fullness of this joy when they are at the top of their collective game. This is not some simplistic celebration when everything's gravy. He offers these words at the end of his life. There is a price tag on his head. He and the disciples have just shared their last meal. He knows that he's breaking bread not just with his friends, but also with the one who will betray him. This is the context for the passage we hear today. The context is heartbreak and what seems at the time to be abject failure. I would expect Jesus to say something else here. Maybe coach the disciples to work harder, to get more strategic. He could urge them to keep pushing forward because it's not over yet. At least that's what we might expect to hear from the leader at a losing dinner. The team is down, or the business is flailing, or the election polls look like a bust. So work harder, work smarter. Do not give up. But even as blessedly human as Jesus is, still he invites us to another way. He does not berate the disciples for failing, and he does not tell them to figure out how to fix it. He asks them to abide in his love. He tells them that the point of it all is joy. Friends, there is so much that breaks in life. I know this. I know this on a very practical level. That teapot lid and 1,000 other things I've watched crash to the floor. And we know all those other things that break that super glue cannot fix. And just as these things are breaking, Jesus shows his disciples and he shows us the way forward. They feast, they embrace, they tenderly wash feet. They come together in that breaking. They love each other there, all in the service of joy. They abide in this love in order that their joy may be complete. He's showing us how to do it. Our hearts break and we come together. Our bodies break and we show up for each other. Minds break and we sit together, walk together, shepherd one another back towards wholeness. This is what it means to be church. It is messy and vulnerable and sometimes frightening, and it creates room for the deeper joy that Jesus promises. That complete joy is not just about the wild fun. We get to blow the roof off with fabulous celebrations like the bishop's consecration yesterday, or like the Aloha Tea Party our teenagers are getting ready as we speak. All of it so good. We get to laugh and play and sing, yes. And the joy that Jesus promises, that whole, complete joy, it includes more tender work, too. The poet Ross Gay writes that joy emerges through the act of joining our wildernesses together, yours and mine. By taking the sorrow and loneliness and fear that our wildernesses encompass, he says, and bringing them together. When we join these, your wilderness and mine, that's when joy arrives. I think Jesus is pointing us in the same direction. As I think about all the good I know you are reaching for out in the world, and also especially here at Church of the Resurrection, I am tempted to wish you every success, to wish you perfection in that, for you to have all the time you need and the ideal team, maybe more people even than you need, for the copier never to fail. Maybe also that grants would fall from the sky to fuel your work just for good measure. But making church together is hard. We hit those bumps and snags and those places where we're not sure how to move forward. Such is the reality of trying to follow Jesus in the 21st century in the Bay Area. Plenty of days it feels like there is no map for this adventure we're on. But there is. There is a map, and this gospel is it. The point is not success, not on its own. The reason for all this is joy. So here's my real hope. My hope is that when it gets tricky and messy and discouraging, that we remember that Jesus doesn't call us to endlessly grind, and he doesn't call us to perfection. He asks us simply to abide in his love, to make our home there, right in the midst of this radiating love. We can relish the amazing things we get to make happen together, absolutely. And we can savor the slow, quiet rest that God also calls us to, the health and wholeness that God invites us into. And most especially, we can revel in this joy that Jesus promises. My hope is that we find it in good times and in broken times, in ease and through the worry that inevitably comes. My hope is that we keep reaching to make space for this joy right at the center of our life together. May we abide in God's love through it all, that our joy may be complete.